Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to SK Minerals and Additives Limited Q4 and FY26 earnings conference call. We have with us today Mr. Mohit Jindal, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Neeraj Toli, Chief Financial Officer from the company. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mohit Jindal, Chairman and Managing Director of SK Minerals and Additives Limited, for his opening remarks and to share with the audience the company's performance in Q4 and FY26. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Jindal.
Good afternoon to all participants. Thanks for taking out time and joining us for FY26 earnings call. Today's earnings call and discussions and answers given may include forward-looking statements based on current business expectations that specialty chemical and additive business faces. Our actual future financial performance may differ from what is projected or perceived. You may use your own judgment on the information given during the call. Our financial performance, which is last financial year we have closed, is 318 crores we have closed, and this is 50% growth from the financial year 25. And our EBITDA margins have increased from 9% to 10%, and PAT have increased from 5 to 6%. Our journey has started from year 2010 till year 2017. We were doing a turnover of 1 crore. And from there on, the journey of growth has started. Every year, we have grown at 3x pace. And as I've specified, in year financial year 25, we closed at 212. And last year, we have closed at 318. So we started specifically with feed additives. And then we added food segment. And recently, we have entered into polymer additives. Although the additives are from different segments, but the basic chemistry on which we are driving our manufacturing capabilities is on the nitrogen and phosphorus chemistry. So this is the basic manufacturing capabilities we are adding. And currently we are working on Make in India model, and we are trying to develop products which is import substitutes, because the polymer additives which we are developing is completely halogen-free flame retardants which are not manufactured in India. So we are the first company who have ventured into this line of business. Specifying all this, I open this floor for questions from various panelists. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Yash Nisar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
So my first question is...
Yes, Mr. Nisar, please go ahead.
Yes, my first question is, the revenue almost doubled in the second half of FY26 compared to first half. What were the key factors behind this strong growth?
Actually, we are working on strategic sourcing of the materials. Jo hamare materials hain, these are imported from various countries, and we are working on long-term contracts with our suppliers. So as we have came out with an IPO and we have working capital available with us and we have good amount of funds available, so we have sourced the material for next 6 months, or suddenly there was demand from December onwards of these raw materials, and the prices have increased tremendously in February of these raw materials. So it is mix of increase in price and volume driven sales. And we are penetrating into different part of worlds. To cater that, we have recently opened office in various part of the country, and even started one in Mumbai also.
Okay, so while EBITDA and PAT increased in the second half, margins declined. Could you help us understand the reason for the margin contraction?
It is because of the increase in the prices of raw material. Jaise maine bola, thode se prices increase hue hain in second half of the prices, and specifically from January onwards, the prices of raw material have increased.
And revenue grew 50% in FY26, whereas EBITDA grew by 68%. What were the what were the key drivers behind this strong profitability?
It is manufacturing capability we have increased. Last year our manufacturing was 2800 metric ton, and this year we have closed at 4600 metric ton approximately, as we have recently added food additive manufacturing line.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Rahul Kumar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Mr. Yeah. Kumar, please go ahead.
Yes. So my first question is, how sustainable are the current EBITDA margins going forward?
Although it's a forward-looking statement, but as I've specified, we have grown from 1 CR to 300 plus. So we see this momentum going in the time to come. EBITDA margins, we are working to improve because we are trying to strengthen our manufacturing capabilities. And side by side, we are trying to develop economies of scale. So this is the two things we try to build in. And sourcing is our strength. And we are developing in-house capabilities in terms of storing facilities, in terms of developing various suppliers throughout the world. So these are the things that will help us in improving EBITDA margins in the time to come.
Okay. And I also have one question. Could you share the sales volume for FY26 compared to FY25?
I am not able to hear your question properly. If you can come again, please, and bit loudly. Yeah.
Yes. Could you share the sales volume for FY26 compared to FY25?
Yeah. So the volume was 33,000 metric ton in FY25, and this year it was 46,000 metric ton in 2026, which comprises of 4,400 metric ton of manufacturing capabilities.
All right. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I have last question. Do you believe the company can maintain a similar growth trajectory in FY27?
Again, this is a forward-looking, but I feel the kind of verticals we have ventured in and the kind of response we are receiving from our buyers in terms of additives we have developed is tremendous, because as I have specified in my introduction speech also, we are the first company in polymer additives line where we have ventured in. Seeing the geopolitical scenario where sourcing has become a bit of pain for various stakeholders involved in India, they would love to explore possibilities for this kind of additives with us. And we are working day in and day out on taking this forward in a great way.
All right, noted. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Murtaza with Pinpoint X Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening. Am I audible?
Yeah. Good evening. Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on the good set of numbers. I had a handful of questions. Sir, firstly, yeah, regarding our utilization. It's mentioned in the investor presentation that we are nearly around 100% utilization for the year. So I just wanted to understand in a bit better manner, like what is the utilization level across the verticals, that is feed additives, the food preservatives, and HO, SNIL, I just wanted, the thing I want to understand is what kind of headroom do we have in terms of organic growth before we'll have to go for the next CAPEX cycle?
I bifurcated this question into three parts. In terms of CAPEX capability, we are going to develop in the next 2 years. In FY27 and FY28, we are planning to invest approximately 20 CR in terms of CAPEX, where we will increase our capacity in terms of manufacturing capability. Secondly, current capacity utilization is approximately 95% in food and feed segment, and we have set up one food segment also, which is almost optimally used. In terms of polymer additives, we have recently set up 400 metric ton plant per month, but that is, there are some teething problem going on, which we will try to address in next 3 months, and that will be also utilized fully in next 6 months timeline. So this is the strength we have, and 95% capacity utilization is already there for food and feed segment. Hope I have addressed your question.
Understood. So just another clarification, the 20 CR of CAPEX you mentioned for FY27, is it for feed or food or mix of both?
It is for polymer additives. Food, we have already set up a plant for. This is going to be specifically in polymer segment, where we are developing additives and compounding facility.
Okay. So will this be any kind of additional capacity expansion, or will it be debottlenecking of some kind?
It is, will be additional capacity for polymer segment.
Can you quantify how much capacity will it add?
Basically, we are looking at total capacity of 18,000 metric ton, and including all the current capacity, and this we are going to increase in the phased manner in next 18 months. So from the current capacity of 6,600 metric ton, we will take it to 18,000 metric ton in phased manner of next 12 to 18 months.
Understood, sir. And sir, second question was regarding our order book. So typically, what sort of order book execution cycle is it? Is it usually for a month or 2 months? How does it usually work? And I just wanted to understand a bit better on that.
Currently, order book is around about 55 CR, and it depends upon the customers. Like if we are working with government customers, then they usually give 1 year contract. And if it is private customer, it is either quantitative based contract or it is 3 months contract. So it varies from, for government contract, it's a yearly contract, but private customers varies. It is might be quantity contract or it may be 3 months contract.
Understood, sir, understood. And so the 50 CR contract you are telling as it's roughly about 50 CR of order book that we have, how much of is it government or is it totally private?
It comprises both government and private. Out of this 55 CR, 42 CR is from government and the rest is from private.
Understood, sir. And next I wanted to have a better clarity regarding our working capital cycle. It's really impressive that we did grow our revenue 50% in FY26 and we rather doubled in H2 itself. So I just wanted to understand, I saw the debtor days did go up a bit. Inventory was largely probably in order. However, our payable days did not go in that trajectory as it should have. So I just wanted to understand what kind of working capital cycle are we looking at.
Currently, working capital cycle is of 110 days. We are trying to reduce this working capital cycle because it will improve in cash flow also in the organization. But as I've specified, most of the material comes from various countries, so it depends upon the geopolitical scenario. It depends upon the timeline of reaching in India because you never know what is happening throughout the world. So although we try to reduce on the receivable side, we are trying to discount the material which we are invoice discounting facility we have started to take for our buyers. So we are working on reducing the working capital cycle. That will help us in improving our cash flows in the organization.
Understood, sir. And are we in any way kind of asking for better better credit periods from our suppliers?
So we are already taking like buyer's credit facility, but these companies from where we are sourcing are of very big giants, so they work on 100% payment advance, but most of the suppliers we have convinced for taking buyer's credit facility and supplier's credit facility. So we are working on that model. So the cash flow which is going out once in a go, we try to segregate that into bits of pieces.
Understood, sir. Understood, fair enough. And sir, regarding our new product that we are planning to, we started with that is a halogen-free flame retardant. So I just wanted to understand regarding that, like how much was the actual contribution of it in H2? And you were also mentioning there's some sort of an issue with our new capacity. So like I just wanted to understand how much did it really affect in FY26 and is it still sort of, the issue is still persistent or are we back to a normal cycle and what sort of run rate are we seeing for this product in FY27?
This product, we have 400 metric ton per month capacity, but the numbers of this capacity has yet to come because as I have specified in previous question also that there are some teething problem going on. So maybe in next 3 to 6 months, we will be having full capacity running for this polymer additives plant. And so this will contribute in the financial year 27. And the margins are going to increase once this product will be added because this is one of its kind of product and unique product in India. So I think if I missed some part of your question, you can ask me again, please.
So from what I understood, as of now, we were not able to really start with the commercialization of this product in FY26, and in FY27 we're expecting within 2 quarters to actually see some numbers reflecting. Is it correct?
I'm taking a longer version of that. Although the plant is ready and it is fully scalable at any point of time, but I am taking 3 to 6 months because this is a chemistry-driven product and a lot of chemical reactions are involved. So it is not only the product we have to look at, it is the mechanical composition where it is being added and what results it's showing in the final product because this product has an application in wires and cable and electrical equipment. So our chemistry done, but it has to be tested at the customer end also. So that's why I'm taking 3 to 6 months, whereas the plant might get operational within 3 months itself.
So we can say it's currently under a trial phase, and once we sort of get the feedback from our customers, we can start it as soon as we receive those feedbacks.
Yes. The trial is already going on with 5 customers, and as I have not supposed to reveal the name of the customers, the trial is going with 5 customers, and we have already signed some agreements also in NDA with 2 of our customers also.
Sure, sir. Not an issue. And sir, I guess we some time back we had actually also acquired a land for expansion. So, can you share some status? What are our plans? Are we talking that the 20 CR of CAPEX that we're talking about, is it on the same land? And and how are we planning? Are we planning to fund that 20 CR via internal accruals or some sort of debt also there?
I divide your question into 2 parts. First of all, this 9.6 acre land which we have taken is for developing our polymer additives and polymer compound facility, where I have specified that in next 12 to 18 months, we will taking our manufacturing capabilities to 18,000 metric ton. So this is a land which we have taken for taking this manufacturing to next level. So this is the first question to my answer. If you can come with your partial part of the second question.
Yeah. So I just wanted to ask, how are we looking to fund that CAPEX in the coming 18 months? Are we planning it to do 100% by internal accruals, or some bit of it would come from debt?
We have the credit lines available for capex from the banks also, and we have some part of the IPO proceeds which is we have raised for capex. So we will utilize both for taking our capacity to next level, to 18,000 metric ton.
Understood, sir. And sir, regarding our product, the flame retardant, so as of now, from what I understand, in India, we are the first ones to sort of come up with such a product. And so I just wanted to understand what sort of differential discount would we have to give to the newer, to our clients, like first-time clients, to sort of win that business initially. And like what kind of difference or discount would that be, and what sort of EBITDA margins can we sort of look at after that kind of a discount? Or are we not planning to sort of have a discount policy or something like that?
First of all, we are not competing in a red ocean category. We are competing in a blue ocean category. There is hardly any competitor. And this is halogen-free flame retardant. So what is the difference in this halogen-free flame retardant? As you people all are seeing, a lot of fire incidents are happening throughout the India. So usme, if you see, the people who got died in that is not because of the fire, it is because of the smoke that has emitted in that fire. So what halogen-free flame retardant do is, agar, first of all, it is not letting that equipment catch fire, or agar aag lag bhi jaye, to the smoke which is coming out of that emission is not that toxic that you cannot breathe. Abhi, recently you must have heard that there was a fire incident in Delhi where 9 people have died. It is not because of the fire they have died, it is because of the smoke. So what this halogen-free flame retardant do is, first of all, that ignition, which is normally 280 or 300 degrees, it takes to 500 degrees. Aur usme se jo emission hota, it is not toxic. And you can navigate through that passage. So this is the thing we are trying to build in India. And again, we need not to offer discounts. We need to give the quality. We need to compete with the foreign suppliers. And we need to build, we need to win the trust of our buyers. That is the only thing we have to do.
Understood. So thank you for clarifying in a very detailed manner. So like from what I understood, so it kind of is probably a one of its kind of a product, probably in an international sort of market as well. So are there some chances that there's some kind of attraction from international companies also, or yet we have not yet tried to tap some international markets?
This product is good, and we have received interest from the foreign buyers also. But we are at a very initial stage, so I don't want to project too many big things at this phase. But yes, this is a very good product, and we have developed in-house capabilities for this, and a lot of money we have spent on this product also. Going down the line, we are quite hopeful that this will give the kind of growth momentum we want. But finger crossed, and let's see. In next 6 months, we will be having very good, I think, response from the domestic market itself. Once we have this, then we will definitely take it to the international market. As currently, we are getting few queries from the international buyers also. Thank you.
Thank you. We have lost line of the participant. We'll take the next. Before we take the next, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Neha, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Ms. Neha, please go ahead with your question.
Hi, sir. So my question is, by when do you expect the planned capacity expansion to become operational?
Basically, if you're asking about the current polymer additive, in the previous question I have answered that it will be live in next 3 months. For our 10 acres land, which we have recently taken over, we will be putting our production capacity in the phased manner, and phased manner means 12 to 18 months, where we are going to scale our capacity to 18,000 metric tons.
Okay. And how do you see the new capacities contributing to revenues and margins over the next 2-3 years?
Currently, in terms of the manufacturing margins, we are standing at 30% approximately, whereas from polymer additives, we feel that the margins would be 40%. And in terms of the growth momentum, it will definitely increase in the beta and PAT because manufacturing percentage in terms of margin is higher than our import trading margins. So this is definitely going to reflect in the FY27 numbers.
Okay, and sir, has the current geopolitical environment affected raw material sourcing or procurement cost in any ways?
I look this situation in a two different manner. In terms of the import trading, yes, it has impacted because we have 3 months stock always available with us. So that stock is getting dried up. But on the other side, this is giving us an opportunity for our manufactured product because as due to the geopolitical scenario throughout India, the material which is being sourced from the overseas countries is not available. So we are the only alternative left, or we are one of the alternative left in India in terms of food and feed additives, and in terms of polymer additives, which we are starting up. It is just because of this geopolitical scenario, a lot of manufacturers are queuing up or asking us to deliver the product so that they can test and start sourcing it from us in a big way.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Rahul Singh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so my first question is, how much of the revenue growth was driven by higher volume versus better realizations?
Higher volume versus?
Better realizations.
Okay. This is a mix of both. You can say that the volume have increased from 32,000 metric ton to 46,000 metric ton, which includes 4,400 metric ton of our manufacturing capacity. Of course, the prices have increased from the January to March quarter, and even some of the products have doubled in last 6 months. So I would say this is a mix of increase in volume and the price escalation in the products also.
Okay. My second question is, which product segments contributed the most to growth during FY26?
Currently, the segment are category of industry into 3 parts. One is food, second is feed, and third is petroleum industry. So all the 3 products have contributed in the increase of the turnover because like I have said, that food segment we have added manufacturing capability. In terms of petrochemicals which we are sourcing, in that prices have increased, and feed additives which are being sourced from overseas, we are the ones who are manufacturing, so increase in prices of that where we have manufacturing capabilities are also contributing in the turnover. As the turnover have increased by 50%, so all have contributed, but I would say petrochemicals have contributed the most.
Okay. I just had one more question. What is the company's current installed capacity and capacity utilization level?
Okay. The current capacity is 6,600 metric ton. And as we have added polymer additives, which is 450 metric ton per month, which is going to live in next 3 months. So the current capacity is 70%. food and feed is being running at 95%, and the polymer additive industry is yet to get live in the next 3 months.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Tisha Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello, please go ahead.
So my question is, over the long term, what revenue mix do you envision between specialty chemicals and trading activities?
Currently, 23% of our revenue comes from the manufacturing capabilities. But in next 2 to 3 years, we want to scale the manufacturing contribution to turnover to 50%, with overall increase in the turnover also.
Okay. And want to understand that, like, which end users industries are currently driving the strongest demand for flame retardant products?
This flame retardant is being used into various industries, but currently we are focusing on cable and wire and electrical equipments, electrical and electronics equipment. Once we cater to these two segments, then we will target EV batteries also.
Okay, and what are the key barriers in this industry, and how do you view the competitive landscape?
Competitive landscape in terms of the manufacturing strength and manufacturing R&D facilities, we are the first company who have entered into this space in terms of halogen-free flame retardant. There are some halogen, not halogen-free flame retardant manufacturers, they are halogen manufacturers. So in terms of halogen-free, we don't see any competition in terms of India. In terms of barriers, there are technological barriers, there are R&D barriers, and what we feel ourselves is that we can give the strength of in-house capabilities. Like, what I mean to say is, if you source this material from overseas, this requires the integration into the final product, where we have in-house capabilities and we can give that final integration into their final product in a good way, because we have in-house R&D facilities available with us.
Okay.
In terms of mechanical properties.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Murtaza with Pinpoint X Capital. Please go ahead. Mr. Murtaza, please go ahead with your question.
Hi, sir. I'm sorry. Am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah. So a couple more questions that I wanted to understand better. Regarding our margins across various verticals, that is the food, feed, and our trading, versus you've already told about our the fire resistant around 40%. So just wanted to know the margins of the other three verticals.
We categorize into two parts. One is manufacturing and second is into trading. So in terms of gross margin, which we make from manufacturing, right now is 30%, whereas in terms of our trading product, it is 21%. So if you categorize that into segments, manufacturing includes food and feed additives, whereas trading products include petrochemicals.
Understood. And once our halogen-free product comes in, it would add a good proportion to our manufacturing, taking it to 50%, north of 50%, our manufacturing contribution.
I want to understand this question again. Please come again.
So what I mean, sir, you answered the previous participant's question regarding the mix we want to keep between
manufacturing and trading. So once our fire retardant product actually starts to commercialize, that's when we'll start seeing the shift of our manufacturing contribution going north of 25%.
Currently, we have manufacturing contribution to turnover is 23%. In next 2 to 3 years, we want to take it to 50%. This includes food, feed, and this flame retardants, which we are developing right now.
Understood. And sir, regarding the trading segment, I want to ask regarding melamine and phenol, what is the proportion of our procurement in terms of import, how much are we importing and versus how much is it domestically procured?
No, we are not dealing in melamine and phenol. This is not our product where we work on.
And so, what exactly are we trading?
So we are basically into base oils. We are into TG urea. So these are the two products we work on in terms of import of trading products.
Okay, understood. So we'll make a note of it. And sir, regarding, there was a mention of omega-3 and vitamin D2 development somewhere in FY24. That's what I could come across in the investor presentation. So, sir, can you just give some commentary regarding that, how do we see the commercialization coming up? What sort of timeline can we expect for that? What status are these products in?
These are in the R&D phase as of now. I cannot comment on the commercialization stage, but these are in the final stage of pilot, I would say, industrial trial. Commercial date is not possible to comment because this will take might be some time to commercialize. This is in the R&D phase.
Understood. So just two more questions. Sir, what was the maximum revenue potential from our current 400 metric tons capacity at 100% utilization? What sort of peak revenue can we see from it?
This product ranges from 150 rupees to 1000 rupees. Flame retardant, if you're talking about, I take an average price of 250 rupees. So 400 tons multiplied by 250 comes to be 10 crore. So I see 100 crore this will contribute in the turnover at 100% capacity
Perfect. Okay, sir. Thank you very much. All the best for the future.
Thank you.
A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes on the line of Shrisha Rudrani, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. My question is, are there plans to enter new end user industries or launch new products in the near future?
Polymer additives, which we are currently doing, is already into the new industry we have entered. This is cable and wire and electronic and electrical equipments we are trying to cater to. Once we venture this industry and we feel that there is a space to enter new segment in flame retardant additives, we will cater to EV batteries, which is the next segment we want to venture into.
Okay, sir. My next question is, could you share the current order book and business pipeline?
Currently, we have order book of 55 CR, and this constitutes government and the private customers. As government mostly gives 6 months and 1 year orders, whereas the private customers gives quantitative or 3 months contract. So this keeps on revolving, and we see good potential of order book coming in the time to come.
Okay. What are the key risks that the company foresees over the next few years, and what is the plan capex for the financial year 27 and financial 28?
Basically, we are looking at a capex of 20 CR in the next 2 CR, and your first question, can you come again on this?
Yes, yes, sure. What are the key risks the company foresees over the next few years, and what is the plan capex for the for financial year 27 and financial year 28?
So capex I have answered, and in terms of the foresee growth in the next 2 years, I think we are going to maintain the momentum which we have maintained in the last 5 years. And although this is a forward-looking statement, but we will try to maintain the momentum which we have maintained in the last 5 years of our journey.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
A
reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes on the line of Murtaza with Pinpoint X Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just last two questions. So first is regarding our R&D team. How many people do we have in our R&D team, and are we expanding further?
Currently, we have 11 people who are working in that R&D team, and 3 are doctorates in that team. And even we have introduced one independent director who is from the same line of who is in the same line of business we are into, so that he can add value into our line of businesses where we are growing. So hopefully I have answered your question.
Yes, that's great, sir. And sir, secondly, I just wanted to understand in terms of how replicable or how difficult is it to kind of create a similar product as a in terms of competition that can potentially come. So I just wanted to understand how prone are we to a competition that somebody else kind of creates a similar product. What sort of barriers do they have in that sense?
Of course, you never know the capabilities of the other industry, but what we feel is that the kind of effort, the kind of research, and the kind of technological advancement which we have done, it's not that easy to replicate. And it is not in terms of capex and R&D capabilities, I'm saying, in terms of the manpower which we have hired or the kind of research associates we which have got associated with us, is not a fortnight affair. So there are two, I would say, barriers in this, apart from the patents or other things which we are doing. It is technological barriers and R&D barriers, which is difficult to replicate for any new entrant to enter into this space.
That's great to hear, sir. And regarding patents, sir, what is the status?
There are 3 patents which we are going to file in next 6 months. Already because of this patent infringement and various related issues, which we are trying to check it from our lives. But in next 6 months, we will try to file 3 patents.
So it's already in process. We are And sir, just a final question. Sir, are we anytime planning to have a plant visit or something?
Are we? I'm Kathleen, please come again.
Sir, I'm just asking, are we planning for the plant visit anytime soon? So just so as to investors could actually come and get a chance to actually witness themselves the product and get a better conviction. Are we planning for a plant visit or something?
I think this is a question I cannot answer right now. Let me check it out and then we'll revert back.
Sure, sir. I'll drop a mail. No issues.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, we have reached the end of question and answer session. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mohit Jindal, Chairman and Managing Director from SK Minerals and Additives Limited, for closing comments.
Thank you all of you for attending this call. I think most of the things have been covered in, during the answer and question and answer session. I don't think anything is further left out. I hand over to you. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of SK Minerals and Additives Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your line.